The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
While the disciples were telling how they had seen Jesus risen from the dead, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So when I was in seminary, at the end of my first year, I had a rough patch, you could call it, a tough couple of weeks that piled one upon the next. You might know that when you go to seminary, one of the things you have to do is that you have to work a summer or 6 months as a volunteer chaplain somewhere. It's called clinical pastoral education, and I did mine at Sloan Kettering, which is a cancer hospital on the Upper East Side in New York City. So I spent my days walking through rooms, talking with people who had had tough news and bad days. And as the summer came to a close, one person who I had grown particularly close to and spent a lot of time talking with turned for the worse. And ultimately, the very last week that I was there, he died. And that was tough because we had built a good relationship and we had mused on some wonderful things. And if that wasn't enough, I had been dating someone on and off again all summer, and she decided that it was going to be off, not on again. And so, you know, that's not fun either. But then to top it all off, the very same week, I got a call from my mom that my last grandparent had died, the one who I was named after, the one who I kept up with on the phone, who was excited to hear about all these things that he could never quite experience but wanted to learn about, wanted to hear about. He had passed away, and not in a terrible way, in the way that is normal and beautiful, but it was a lot for a week. It's kind of a rotten week, if I could be honest. And it was hard. I was raw. So, as happens, I think, often in New York, I was walking out of the main entrance of our seminary, and my professor was walking in, and we ran into each other, and he said, "How are you?" And I said, "Well, I'm okay. And I said, "How are you?" And he said, "I'm okay." And so we proceeded, again, as you do, to just, for a minute, "What's up? How are you? What's going on? Oh, this, oh, that. I see. Oh, wow. Interesting." And Pat remarked how he had seen over the summer I had opened up a little more and a little more, that this rawness made me present in a different way than I had been at the beginning of the summer, more loose and open and connected. And I laughed. I sort of said, "Well, it was tough to earn. I wish I hadn't had to work for it." But he said something like this: "Only by going through it could I be present to others. Only by going through it could I be present to it, to that tough time in others." You You know this idea. You've heard it 100 times. If you walk a mile in someone else's shoes, right? Get some perspective. See how you can relate to other people. It's empathy, or maybe it's sympathy. I can never remember which exactly it is. Out of my own worst and toughest days, I can empathize with yours. And it's true for you, too. Only by going through these tough days can we be present in any way to someone else. It doesn't have to be match for match, but some kind of experience, some kind of bad day creates in us the ability to reach out to other people. And it might be tough to see, but that's exactly what Jesus is doing today in the gospel. Now I know, today's gospel is about Jesus' resurrection. The truth is that all of our gospels, all of our stories in Eastertide are all about what happened after the empty tomb. The disciples are full of fear and confusion. Jesus appears to them and they are transformed somehow. Their minds are changed. They decide to respond. And especially after Jesus ascends, goes back into heaven, the story of the nascent church that the disciples come together around is wonderful and really is handed down to us in the sense that what they created we revel in today. But something more important than I think that happens in today's gospel. Did you hear it? The church has argued about this for the first 400 years. This is it. Jesus eats fish. No? Not the revelation I thought it was. This is going to be a longer sermon. No. Jesus eats fish. Jesus allows someone to touch him. Let me go at it a different way. Think of any great story you know, some of the world's greatest myths. Star Wars, for instance, because it's on my mind. Or, if you don't want that, Hamlet. We could talk about Hamlet. Harry Potter, or even Macbeth. I'm sorry, the Scottish play. In any of those stories, someone comes back from the dead. And when they come back from the dead, they're this ghostly apparition, and they serve to either warn someone away from something or to encourage and join someone towards something. But they're not earthly. They're spiritual, we might say, ethereal, wispy, and they go away before they can have too much interaction with the physical world. And it makes sense. Jesus did all these miracles, scores of them. He fed people, he healed people, he even raised someone from the dead. So when he dies, on that scale, it's not that surprising that he would come back to life. He's powerful, he's supernatural, that's incredible, and it is amazing, his resurrection, don't get me wrong. But really, when you sort of look at the track record, he was a pretty incredible guy, right? But what's incredible about it, for all this supernaturalness of his life, he walks through walls, and that doesn't surprise us, but it's the physical form that he takes. It's his eating and touching with people that is profound and incredible. He may be completely transformed, someone new you never expected to see. Think of it this way. On the road to Emmaus, the disciples didn't even recognize him. For hours they spent with him. They didn't see him somehow. So he's very, very different. But he's still physical. He's still corporeal. He has this form. And the first thing he wants to do when he visits his disciples is he wants to eat again. He says, let's have a meal, just like they did before he left. He wants to return to that most intimate of things. So this physical nature of God, we can see, is central. And do you know why? Because it's the source of God's compassion for us. It's only by going through those tough times that God could be present to any of our own tough times. Do you know what I mean? It's the key of the incarnation. Every worst moment that we have ever had, every loss of a loved one, every dissolution of a relationship, every abandonment, each bad diagnosis, and every day that we might struggle to get by, every single moment like that, God experienced in human form. And God experienced it so deeply that it caused God to open his heart in compassion to all of us in our tough times. This is amplified in the resurrection because there's this moment, I think, where it could have gone the other way. Jesus could have come back as a spiritual, ethereal form, and we would have been amazed by his resurrection nonetheless. But Jesus came back as a physical body. It's incredible. Incredible and essential. This is the foundation of God's loving relationship with us. And this is the gateway for God's transformational healing of us. So know, in the middle of this Eastertide, that we celebrate the life of God becoming fully man, who died and rose again in order to love us, having experienced it all in the best and worst moments of our lives. But that's not enough, you see. That's not quite enough. There's one more thing at the end that Jesus does. After coming back to the disciples, after being resurrected and explaining it all so that it makes sense, Jesus commends something to them. He names them as witnesses. Did you hear it? It's almost the last word. And as witnesses, they are meant to report the truth of what they've seen. So we have a share in that. Just as Jesus reaches out to us in empathetic love, he calls us to report that love out to others, to reach out with our own hurt hearts and to love the people of the world. So go out into the world convinced that through the cross, God has seen the worst that is out there and can love you through your toughest days. And then, once you get through your hard day, turn around and share God's love with someone else in the middle of theirs. Amen.